Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMe People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMe People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Happy Tuesday, everybody, for what seems like an eternity. It's been an eternity since you've last heard the sweet, sweet, dulcet tones of Patrick O'Dowd and David Ungar for an edition of Musical Chairs. That's right. Finally, Dave, this show is like, what, a month and a half in the making?
At least.
Feels like you've been gone, I've been gone, we've all been gone. Dave's been sick.
Yeah, DJ filled in admirably.
DJ filled in admirably. DJ was going to fill in last week for this show that has yet to happen, but life got in the way. So we ended up not recording a Musical Chairs then. But I got to tell you, this is what, the shortest playlist in the history of Musical Chairs, like season four? We got like six songs, eight songs?
No, I forget how many episodes we're in now. Because with DJ and I did two, you and I did two or three. So
right,
it's kind of close to on pace. We still got a few weeks to make up.
It's getting there.
Oh, wait, you're going to Disney.
That's true. Not next week, though. We'll do a show next week. Right. Next week will definitely be a show. I'm here for next week. I'll tell you what, though. We almost didn't do a show this week. You know why?
Why?
Because I had another bowling tournament I got invited to that I turned down. I bowled in a tournament last week, which impacted Musical Chairs in the first place. We were going to try to record it on a Saturday instead of our usual Sunday. It didn't happen. And that's okay. Like, life happens. Stuff happens, shit breaks and all of that. But yeah, I bowled for some dollars. I finished fourth, which was one place out of earning dollars in my bowling for dollars. So no dollars for Patrick O'Dowd.
And we almost, and I mean, the question of whether I'd actually be awake for this thing. So I didn't get to bed till 3.
It's true. Why'd you tell, you know what? First of all, before we get into that, by the way, you are listening to Musical Chairs here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Make sure you head over to prowrestlingtees.com/Chairshot and invest in one of our Chairshot shirt designs. We got all kinds of great ones out there. But yeah, Dave messaged me prior to our recording Sunday, because we always record our shows on Sunday. Like, that's the Patrick O'Dowd schedule. Like, I'll own that. Like, that was the one where I'm like, this is what I can most conveniently record. And everybody else was so kind to fall into that schedule. So I appreciate everybody
Greg,
who makes that happen.
Greg's the outlier.
Oh, but Greg's not Greg and I's podcast, that's the OG podcast that I ever did. Like, it was his, it's based on, you know, it's interesting now that his, you know, his oldest is in college. Yeah. And I think he's starting to find some more time on his hands. I'm finding that my texts get responded to a little more quickly. I'm finding that there's not as many, I got to pick up such and such to do this, though sometimes he's on daughter dance duty. That does happen. But anyway, none of that's neither here nor there. You are a little sleepy today. I see you drinking the coffee. I'm drinking my coffee this morning or this afternoon as well. But the reason I'm drinking mine is because I didn't get a chance. I was very productive morning, Dave. I got out, did this weekend was like reclaiming my lawn weekend. And so just tearing shit down. I did, you know, I did hedges. I did hedge work. I did my, you know, I mowed the lawn, all that stuff. And so I didn't get a chance to get my morning coffee until the afternoon. Dave, why are you sporting a giant mug of Joe here for musical chairs?
Yeah, we did last night at SoFi Stadium was the Green Day Saviors Tour, which is there are four bands playing. We saw two because by the time because traffic was a problem getting in because
not in Los Angeles.
Well, it was doubly bad because as I messaged you across the street from SoFi is the brand new Intuit Dome. And somebody in their infinite wisdom, I don't know, tour managers, I guess, don't talk to each other or don't coordinate shit or don't do anything that makes any sense because Slipknot's playing at the Intuit Dome across the street from SoFi at the exact same time that Green Day and Smashing Pumpkins and Rancid and the Linda Lindas in reverse order are playing over at SoFi. So yeah, parking was an absolute cluster. And I, you know, we could, I mean, and the Apple navigation system is dreadful. And it's like sending us all over the place. And, you know, it's like me, my son, and my step grandson trying to find, you know, because we dropped my wife and the other step grandson off. And we're trying to find this thing. And luckily, the people in one of the lots at SoFi took mercy on me. And they're like, yeah, you've got a parking thing for the garage over there, but it's okay. Come in here. It works here just as well. Thank you. Thank God. But yeah, they had so Green Day was the headliner. And it was a once in a lifetime concert because they played all of Dookie and all of American Idiot in its entirety. That's, you know, you're not going to because it's the 30th-ish anniversary of Dookie and the 20th anniversary of American Idiot. So it was a great show with one caveat to this thing. And I was going to ask you because when you did Metallica, it looked like you were kind of in the upper sections as well, based on the videos that you took. And we were kind of there as well. And I don't know what your experience was because you were at Gillette Stadium. Is that where they did it, Metallica? Now I can't hear you at all. Huh. What has happened here?
I don't know. I can hear
you. Oh, there.
I can hear you.
There you go.
Oh, am I back?
You're back.
Yes. I was upper section of Gillette Stadium, but a great angle on the stage.
Now,
so I got a good look at everything.
So what I wanted to ask you was, how was the sound, the vocals? Could you hear everything okay? Or was it kind of difficult to hear and a little muffled?
For Metallica, it was perfect. For like, it was clear to me that there was a lot of focus on Metallica for their two sets. But like, Pantera, I remember Pantera, like, no, I could. It was the reverberation and the sound bouncing off and stuff. Like they just, and I don't think they just worked as hard to adjust. It felt like day two was better than day one. If I were to argue, like I could better hear Five Finger Death Punch on day two. So
the reason I'm asking is like the vocals were very hard to pick up for both Smashing Pumpkins and Green Day. And like, you know,
but your video didn't show that. Like no. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
You shared a video and it sounded great on your video.
That's weird. I mean, and it's strange. And when I listened to it back and I've got two other videos and I only shared one with you guys, but I got Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Like, okay, that sounds fine. And of course I taped like, or videoed like the last minute of Good Riddance Time of Your Life. And that came out really well in the video. I'm like, what is going, why did it to the human ear sound kind of like muffled? And I thought, okay, the acoustics of so far aren't great. We're a little too far away. I don't know. But yeah, other than that, it was a tremendous show. And you know, the fact that these guys and Aiden, one of my step grandkids, he's like, you know, 16 now or something. And he's like, damn, they did 37 songs in 2.5 hours. I'm like, that's pretty good pace for 50-year-old guys.
That's the thing. That's the same thing with Metallica. Like these guys are in their 60s.
Yeah.
Now, like they're not spring chickens. And they did two and a half hour sets on a Friday and a Sunday.
These aren't.
And you know, that's amazing. And
it's
that's
not easy music that they're doing. These songs are complex.
No,
and hard.
No, no, no. Well, live performing in general, I don't care what kind of artist you are, what kind of music you're playing, that is exhausting work. Like, regardless of your opinion of her, Taylor Swift, fucking, like, what she can do on a stage for as long as she does, you got to tip your hat to. You've got to recognize, just as a performer, how special she is. Like, Bruno Mars, I want to see Bruno Mars so badly. You know who can go fuck themselves? Hall & Oates, because you're trash. And now you hate each other.
Did you see...
Worst show ever. 45 minutes, you old fucks.
Did you see the whole blow-up between Perry Farrell and Dave Navarro? I don't know if you've seen this. Jesus.
Yes. You know what? I am disappointed. It's like they saw that the Gallagher brothers were getting back for Oasis, and they were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Before this even, we need to make this news first. Because you know Noah and Liam going to fight.
Oh, yeah.
You know it's going to happen.
They're not.
And I haven't checked. I want to check some sports books to see if there is an over-under the number of concerts Noah and Liam make before they have a dust-up on stage. But, yeah, seeing Perry Farrell and Dave Navarro. Perry Farrell, like, took a swing, right?
Yeah, he sure did.
Like,
he
took a swing. So, yes, that reunion tour is on hold. Yes, that's we'll done. See.
First,
have they put out a statement or anything since it's happened?
Tenacious D goes up in flames. Now this.
Well, it's interesting as this turns into kind of like Dave and Patrick catch up on various bands. I will say Jack Black has walked back on never doing anything with Kyle Gass again. Like, shortly, like a few weeks later, he was like, look, you know, it was everything sort of in the moment. Like, we're such prisoners of the moment sometimes when it comes to whether it's politics or life in general. It sounds like Jack Black was a little bit of the prisoner of the moment when it came to his reaction to Kyle's, you know, statements on stage, which I get Jack Black's point of view. He's trying to make money and he's trying to put on a show, but that's also, I don't know. It wasn't a big deal. So, but yeah, I'm happy you got to go see it. Like I said, the footage you posted looks great. Sounds great.
Well, the last thing I'll say is you mentioned Taylor. See, my wife went to the Taylor Swift show at SoFi, and she's like, you could hear everything perfectly from where we were. I was like, yeah, but you were a section lower, and B, Taylor doesn't have all that heavy distortion that Green Day has. I mean, she's a much cleaner sort of music than
right.
These guys are.
She's a pop star. Yeah. Real quick, last question before we get into the show itself. If you had a preferred type of venue to see a live act, I'm being someone who has just done, I just did my, like, Gillette was my first, like, true, like, stadium show. Like, most of the places I've go to have been indoor arenas. Do you prefer an indoor arena or an outdoor venue?
I think I prefer an indoor arena. The acoustics are better. With an outdoor arena, so like when I saw Green Day at the Rose Bowl, which we had it, and Tony will probably be releasing this because when we recorded the Big Five the other day, we had an interesting conversation that was off air on my end, but Tony was recording it about our favorite concerts of all time. And like Green Day at the Rose Bowl, because of the venue, of course, is just iconic. And that the sound was different, but I think just from an acoustic standpoint, yeah, the indoor arenas, you just hear everything a little bit better and sounds right. Not flying out through into the cosmos. And it's actually all being contained. Now, is it better for your eardrums? Probably not, but, is it,
but you know, what else is great about indoor? That I'll say, and I'm sorry to cut you off, is it feels more intimate with the artist if I were to go that far. Like, I've seen Queen 3 times now at this point. I've seen them twice indoors. I've seen them once outdoors. And the vibe and the feeling that I've had when I was inside an arena with the way that they use their stage and their video boards and all that was such a different vibe than when I was outdoors listening to it a lot. Loved both of them. It was a lawn seating outdoor arena. So it was designed for, that's the other thing is going to these big stadium shows are not designed for musicians or for music. Like when I've gone to an Xfinity Center, like in Hartford, where we've got the shell around back behind them and and the seating goes back away. That sounds good in most cases.
Yeah. Last thing, cause you mentioned Queen. And this is the last thing I'll say about this. So we're like just walking around outside looking at stuff and kind of checking out, kind of people watching, looking at merch stands and stuff, because we figure, oh, we got till 8:30 before Green Day hits the stage, and Smashing Pumpkins ended at like 7:55. And like at 8:20, Bohemian Rhapsody starts playing. We're like, shit, You know, this is what they do. They play all of Bohemian Rhapsody, then they go in the Blitzkrieg bop, and then they kind of hit the stage. So we're like, damn it, we got like 6.5 minutes to get back to our seats. So we're all scrambling back as they're playing all of Bohemian Rhapsody, which is, that was kind of fun.
That's nice. And this goes to show you that Queen is everywhere, kid. Yeah. All right. So we do have two artists today. But we are, I'm just going to name it. Hockey season is not too far away. We are getting close to it. My Blues being a disappointment again this year. And who knows what your Caps are going to be.
Honestly, man, I am looking forward to hockey season, but a lot of my excitement's been tempered because of the Johnny Gaudreau tragedy, and it really kind of sucked the wind out of a lot of stuff. But listening to Columbus's GM saying, look, Johnny would want us to play, got to get back to hockey. I don't know how that team, maybe they have a really good year because of him, but man, how do you recover from something like that? I don't know.
It's tragic. It sucks.
I tried to trade for him. Like, he's on my old hockey game that I still play. I tried to trade for him, and they wouldn't let me make the trade. I was very disappointed. But
stupid game.
Really?
Yeah, I hear you. Cool. All right. So we were talking about this before. We're going to take our first commercial break. And before we do that, I do just want to name David. As we got together, I was like, who goes first today? And Dave was like, Patrick, you've been sitting on this artist for multiple weeks.
You've even announced it in advance.
I did. I announced it in advance. I want to talk about Alice in Chains today. So we're going to take our first commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about Alice in Chains with my good friend David Ungar. And then Dave will regale you with his artist after the second commercial break. So sit tight. We'll be right back. You're listening to Musical Chairs here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Musical Chairs. Patrick Radad, David Ungar here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot for all of your Chairshot swag needs. Dave, I've been waiting so patiently to talk about Alice in Chains, because there are a few. So there. I think we've talked about this other times. There are people in your life or historical events in your life where someone will be like, do you remember where you were when X, Y, and Z happened? Like, so many people remember where they were when the Challenger exploded, for example, or where they were for the, and I'm talking about tragedies, and I understand I'm talking about where they were when the towers were hit on September 11th. One of those memories for me, oddly enough, is the death of Layne Staley. And I remember it very, very well, because I was having lunch with one of my best friends from college. His name is Chris. And I think the reason why Layne Staley's death hit me, and I remember it, was because of how much his death actually impacted my friend Chris. Because Chris, and I loved Alice in Chains. I love Alice in Chains, because that's the other thing we're going to talk about. Jerry Cantrell is just the Energizer Bunny when it comes to keeping Alice in Chains going. And you know, that's great. But I very much remember just feeling like there was such a significant loss to the music scene, and thinking that Alice in Chains was going to be done because of Layne Staley's passing. And it was such a tough thing to see and to experience. But you know, in the era of, you know, the early to mid 90s, when that whole shift in music went from like the hair band heavy metal style of music to grunge. And, you know, and most people, the first two bands that come to mind are Nirvana and Pearl Jam. But right there with them was Layne Staley and Jerry Cantrell and their vocal harmony while being a part of Alice in Chains. And that's what really set them apart from Pearl Jam and Nirvana. Because, you know, with Pearl Jam, you have Eddie Vedder's vocals, you have that powerful voice. With Nirvana, you have all this talent, and you have the songwriting talent and the lyrics of Kurt Cobain and the way he spoke to a generation. And with Alice in Chains was like, and none of these bands were particularly happy, right? But Alice in Chains was the band I went to when I was down and just wanted to be down and wanted to listen to music while I was down. And, you know, whether it was, you know, Man in a Box, whether it was Them Bones, just any of that stuff was my jam. And that was the Seattle band that I really, you know, embraced. You know, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden. I went to say Pearl Jam and Nirvana at the same time. All of them are great. Everybody I know owns the EP Jar of Flies. Everybody I know owns Dirt and the self-titled Alice in Chains album. Like, everybody I did. And, you know, the band really struggled. They had this huge swell of popularity in the early 90s. And then in around 96, they sort of fell off because Layne Staley, his drug abuse, his substance abuse problems, which eventually took him in 2002, really forced the band to not be able to do anything. They regrouped in 2005, and, you know, with the addition of William Duvall, and kept going, because Jerry Cantrell really is a creative driving force. He was the songwriter. Like, he's the name attached to most of their tunes. And so he was able to keep that band going. And, you know, Mike Starr passed away in 2011. Bassist, again, they report, you know, he was replaced and moved on. They're amazing. They're amazing. Their music is so just, it is. It's down in the mud. It's what you listen to when you're feeling sad. But I like how they sound when they're feeling sad. No Excuses, which is one of my favorite songs of all time by them. It's not going to be the songs that I'm picking for today, but that was great. And then to see them having new life now, that they're cranking out albums now as recently as 2018, maybe even more recently than that. Like that's a testament to, I would argue, mostly Jerry, Cantrell. And his drive to keep making music, and we've got The Devil Put Dinosaurs Here that came out in 2013, and Rainier Fog in 2018. House Change just kept going, and the music hasn't lost much at all, if anything. I think that Layne Staley's vocals are special, but they've still found something magical and strong to continue to put on shows and to be available for fans. So that's my choice today, Alice in Chains. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, they're one of the most enigmatic bands from that kind of era that, like you talked about, when the grunge era kind of started to really, take its roots. And they were one of those bands that you identified with. I mean, Man in the Box, it's still the first song I remember by them in that first album. But there's so many great songs, but I think Down in a Hole is, like you talk about, that's what you listen to when you're feeling sad. Well, Down in a Hole is probably not going to uplift you that much. But that's always been my favorite song by them. I remember when Layne died and just the circumstances of his death was 2 weeks. It took you fuckers 2 weeks to figure out something's wrong here.
Right.
I mean, he couldn't have been that.
Well, he was off the grid.
Yeah,
nobody heard him.
Nobody knew what was going on. And I'll tell you, man, I always thought the guy who I thought would have been perfect to replace him, of course, he had his own issues and would succumb to them. But Scott Weiland from the Stone Temple Pilots, I always thought
right.
he would be the perfect replace. Because when I first heard Stone Temple Pilots, I think I've told you this, I really thought it was Alice in Chains. I was like, ooh, Alice in Chains has got a different sort of sound going on here. But, Scott, of course, had his own demons, and anybody who's listened to Fall to Pieces by Velvet Revolver will know that. But yeah, Alice in Chains is one of those really instantly recognizable bands. They've got that distinctive sound. They've got the distinctive vocals. No Excuses. That's a tremendous song and that sort of thing.
But either, man.
Yeah, they're right up there as far as the most iconic bands that came out of that kind of era. They're one of my faves as well.
And I was really stuck. I have three songs that I wrote down, and I'm not going to violate the 2-song rule, but it really was a coin flip. Because one of the other things that I'll say, for my money, their Unplugged episode is up there as good, and this might be controversial, I actually like it better than the Nirvana Unplugged episode. Mm. And everybody talks about the Nirvana Unplugged. You know what my favorite part? I do believe it's the Unplugged episode. I do believe that's, or it was a Saturday Night Live where they criticized Metallica for cutting their hair. I'm trying to remember if that was Saturday Night Live or if it was Unplugged.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google it later just so that I know for my own edification. But, so I was going to pick a song off of the Unplugged album. I'm not, though there is one track on there that they only played from the that's only exists on the Unplugged soundtrack, and that is Killer Is Me. So one of the songs that they ended the show with. I love that song. But what I'm first going to do is I'm going to encourage you all to listen to some of their newer stuff. And I picked a tune off of The Devil Put Dinosaurs Here, that quick, easy find, just old school Alice in Chains. It's called Hung on a Hook. Hung on a Hook. You play that tune, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah. Oh yeah, this is Jerry Cantrelling, and this is a great Alice in Chains tune. So that's going to be my first pick. And Dave, I look forward to you listening to it and getting back to me on what you think of the song. My other one, though, how I love a good instrumental, right? How I love bands that do instrumental. One of my favorite things about Metallica when I went and saw the concert is that both nights they did instrumentals off of their albums, because they did the Call of Cthulhu and they did Orion, and made my fucking day that they played one each to kind of bridge part of the show. On the Jar of Flies, there is an instrumental to wrap up the album called Whale and Wasp. And it's, I don't know how to describe this other than to say it's haunting. And it's like a great song to play for spooky season because it's just kind of eerie with the guitar riffs. And it's just this, there's like this just quiet line, bass line going on behind everything while this electric guitar is sort of whining a little bit, just making this, it's eerie, it's unsettling. And I love it. And so listen to your bands when they play instrumentals. It's not always music about the word or music with words, kids. Those instrumentals are great stuff and shows their talent in ways that most folks don't recognize. So there you have it. Alice in Chains. We're going to go with Hung on a Hook and Whale and Wasp for my two tunes today. Hope you like them.
I'm sure I will. It's Alice. What's not to like? What's not to like?
Are you familiar with either of those songs?
Whale and Wasp, yeah, I am. I haven't heard the new stuff, so that one I'll be looking forward to.
Listen, it's not bad. I think it's pretty good. All right, so we're going to take our second commercial break. And when we come back, a tired Dave is going to exhaustedly talk about
all of a sudden.
Yeah, a little boost from the coffee? All right, man. Well, then we're going to hear a revived Dave when we come back, so don't go anywhere. When we come back from the commercial break, Dave's going to excite you with his band. You are listening to Musical Chairs here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Musical Chairs. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com. Oof, bad breathing on the segue back in. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot for all of your Chairshot swag needs. Dave, it's been multiple weeks in the making. Tell us, who is your band today and why are we excited?
I don't know. Well, you should be kind of excited. This will be a good two bands to talk about. I had teased these guys like when DJ was filling in for you, and I think it was the Great White episode, and he wanted to talk about the tribute band that he saw, where the singer Joey Belladonna from Anthrax was doing all these Rainbow songs and Dio songs and stuff like that. And I kind of teased at that point, hey, Rainbow's coming up pretty soon. Ironically enough, I was going to do it with DJ on one of these other episodes, and I got sick, and it didn't happen. But Rainbow's my band this week, and I've always really liked this band in spite of Richie Blackmore. Because Richie Blackmore is a tremendous talent. I mean, you know, one of the founding members of Deep Purple. And, you know, he ran into some creative differences with some of the other guys with Deep Purple after, you know, they obviously had a lot of commercial success with Smoke on the Water and all that kind of stuff going on. And some of their other really well-known songs, Space Truckin' and all that shit. But he wanted to go in a different direction and kind of experiment with more, I don't know, like more mystical sort of songs and things like that. And so he put together this band. And I'm trying to, hold on a sec, because I got it pulled up here, but I forgot it all of a sudden. But they pulled all these bands from, or all these singers from one band in particular. Well, now I've lost it. Anyway, sorry. But Ronnie James Dio was one of the guys in this, in who they pulled from. And Dio comes in with Blackmore and they create Rainbow, or Richie Blackmore's Rainbow, or whatever you want to call them. And they start cutting all these songs and they start doing all these things and they get some commercial success, a little bit, not a ton of it. But Blackmore's problem is he's just kind of, I don't know, man, like, can you have a micromanager in a band? I mean, I guess you can, because he was always kind of a ball buster.
Do you want to know my theory as to why the Beatles fucking broke up?
Why is that?
Because Paul McCartney was a micromanager and the rest of the band fucking hated him for it.
And you, anyway, sorry. No, and you see a lot of that sort of stuff with, you know, with Richie Blackmore, with just kind of the way that he plowed through band members. It's very interesting that they just kind of go through all, you know, he goes through all these band and they, I mean, it's just, the lineup is constantly changing. Like, you can't, if you listen to Rainbow albums, there's like five or six of them, and good luck finding the lineup of the band being the same for any of it, because it just doesn't really. Okay, the band's name was Elf. That's who Richie yep. Blackmore plucked from, and Ronnie James Dio was there. So he brings in Dio. They have some commercial success. Their sound is very heavy metal, hard rock oriented for those first few Dio albums. And Dio gets a little disenchanted with Blackmore. Surprise, surprise, goes and joins Black Sabbath in 1979 after Ozzy leaves. And then Richie brings in Graham Bonet. And then, you know, suddenly you've got Since You've Been Gone is their big breakthrough song, you know. But, and I mean, and that's the one that everybody knows from Rainbow, that sort of thing. But Graham Bonet, what's up? You've got a comment on that.
It says Since You've Been Gone, and I immediately went,
yeah, it's
like, I went that way.
It's a very easily, I mean, it's a great song, don't get me wrong. And it deserves, you know, to be their big breakthrough hit. But Graham kind of gets out on the outs with Richie as well. And then they bring in Jolynn Turner, who honestly is my favorite of all the Rainbow singers. And one of the songs I'm going to talk about, or one of the ones, because like, I've kind of morphed into this thing. It's like, with the two songs I'm doing, one of them's like kind of become like, okay, what's my favorite song by them? And then the other one's like, okay, what's a hidden gem? But I'll just give it away. So one of the songs I'm going to say is Stone Cold. And when DJ and I were talking about, like, I think we was talking Twisted Sister, and we were talking about these iconic bands from the early days of MTV, like what put MTV on the map, right? And Twisted Sister, of course, is one of the bands with We're Not Gonna Take It, and the video for that, that made music videos what they are. And when MTV first came out and Rainbow was doing Stone Cold with Jolynn Turner on vocals, dude, that song has always been like my favorite by Rainbow for some reason. Just his vocals and everything, and Blackmore's solo is excellent as well. But you know, by like the mid 90s, these guys were kind of gone. You know, they get back together every once in a while, but Richie burned through just about everybody, and everybody's like, all right, I got other things to do. And it's interesting to me because he is. A tremendously, and of course, Deep Purple reconciled at some point, so he dabbled with that. He's a tremendously talented guitarist. Ronnie James Dio is an amazing singer. And you look at his trajectory from Rainbow to Sabbath to his solo stuff. So there's no shortage of talent that Rainbow had. And I think they're ranked like number 90 on Billboard's top 100 rock bands of all time for good reason. They put out Street of Dreams is another really well-known song with Jolynn Turner on vocals. But yeah, it's just, you know, they've always been kind of one of these bands that's my favorites. And I've always liked Rainbow a lot. And just kind of from that moment that I first saw that video for Stone Cold was really interesting, just because of like all the mirrors and kind of the new sort of things that they were doing in that video. But those are my thoughts on Rainbow. I don't want to go too long because I know we're running a little bit long here today, but they're just a band. Like when DJ mentioned them, I was like, wow, that's kind of ironic, because they were somebody I was going to talk about, because it's, you know me, Pat, I'm a Washington Commanders Redskins fan. And it's like, hey, they won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, and Rainbow has hit songs with three different singers. That's kind of hard to pull off in this day and age, where we talk, well, who's going to replace this singer? Who's going to do that? And Rainbow hit, you know, success with three different singers. That's not easy to pull off.
Nice. I do want to apologize to all you Rainbow fans out there for sullying since you've been gone by trying to do Kelly Clarkson. And okay. I do want to make sure that everybody understands. I do know the distinction, because Kelly Clarkson's tune is since you, just the letter U, been gone. So my bad. I really can't comment much on Rainbow. They're a great conglomeration band. They remind me of the Beach Boys in the 70s, where the lineup changed every time they came back and took the stage, like as the Wilson brothers without Brian kept trying to find musicians to jump on and keep them going. So I feel it there. Fun choice, deep cut choice for Dave, and I like it. And I can't wait to listen to the tunes of choice on my spare time.
Yeah, I gave one, which is Stone Cold, which you probably have heard. Yep. But the other one is from the Dio era.
Is that what Steve Austin comes out to?
It should be. It's a little too soft for him. You know, the glass shattering. Yeah. There's glass. It's real glass. There's mirrors and stuff. But the other song is from the Dio era. And this is one that on, I think it was on one of Metallica's newer albums, the Hardwired. I think it's on that one. Where they
Hardwired and Self-Destruct?
Yeah, they do the Ronnie Rising medley. And one of the songs from there is actually one of the Rainbow songs that I wanted. It's called Kill the King. And that's a really good song. It's very heavy. And, you know, you could tell Metallica didn't have to do a lot of work to translate that into something much heavier. But I love that song. It showcases Blackmore's playing. It showcases Dio's singing. It kind of gives you that older school Rainbow feeling, like the Man on the Silver Mountain sort of vibe. That sort of thing. But this is a little bit of a deeper cut. So yeah, Kill the King and Stone Cold are going to be the two songs for me for the boys from Rainbow.
Excellent. I wrote them down to make sure I don't forget their names before, you know, the show actually drops on Tuesday. So I can look them up and take a little trip down memory lane. But you know what? This was fun, Dave. It's been so long since we've talked music, and we talked a little bit every, like we talked about arenas versus indoor venues. We talked about shows we've been to see. This was a good time, man. And I got to tell you, I don't have another concert on my to-do list until October, when I go see the Dropkick Murphys with my buddy Matt.
Oh, nice.
And I've never seen Dropkick live before, which apparently is illegal in Massachusetts. Like, here's the thing is, I prefer, and maybe we'll cover these guys soon someday, but I prefer Flogging Molly to Dropkick. Yeah. And so, like, you know, and it's a personal preference thing. Like, I just like the lead singer's voice way more than singing about how much we love Boston over and over and over again.
But they won't deport you to New Hampshire, and I they take that shit seriously.
You know, I don't want to live free or die hard, or live free or die. Live free or die hard would be a movie. Live free or die would be something different. But anyway, that's going to do it for this week's episode. We have at least one more Musical Chairs episode coming before we get into hockey season. So, Dave alluded to it. I am visiting the Mouse. That will not be for next Tuesday's show. That will be for the Tuesday after. But, until then, we're gonna sit here. We're going to get in our thinking tanks. We're going to find ourselves some great artists for y'all to talk about next week. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Dave, before we get out of here, tell everybody where they can find you on the Chairshot Radio Network.
Yeah, you can find me on Chairshot Radio Network and X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude Ag. And this week, pay attention, kids, because a new episode of the Big Five Project is coming out. We're covering King of the Ring 94. Owen Hart becomes the King of Hearts. It's a fun time. You can find me on Facebook, Attitude of Aggression. Facebook.com/ Attitude of Aggression. And on Instagram and Threads at Attitude of Aggression, all one word.
And you can, of course, find me on the X Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. You can catch me this week, probably for the first time in a long time, every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on the Chairshot Radio Network. Because Monday, we're talking nerdy stuff on Bandwagon Nerds. Tuesday, we'll be here. You're listening right now to Musical Chairs. And then Wednesday, I think we might hit a Greg DeMarco show record with 3 consecutive episode drops. God. Now that I've said it, I may have jinxed it, but we are on track for 3 consecutive episode drops. But that is tomorrow's issue, not today's. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. Make sure you check out Rainbow. Make sure you check out Alice in Chains. Check out these albums. Great, great music. We had a great time talking to you about it. Until next time, this has been Musical Chairs here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.